I'm Priya, and I started Buddha Garden 11 years ago in the year 2000, and it started off as the vegetable garden of Siddhartha Farm, and then gradually it turned into its own independent sort of farm, and it's now it's about 10 or 11 acres, and most of what we do is to grow vegetables. And we grow some fruit, but it's really vegetables, or sort of in a very intense way. And we grow the vegetables on raised beds, and we've got 28 of them now, because we recently had some money from the Agricultural Development Fund, and that's what we used it for. And the whole idea of the beds is that they're very easy to look after, and that as we have a lot of volunteers, the volunteers are able to do the work really easily. And I think this is for the future. I think this is how, you know, we're going to have to do agriculture in Oroville. I think we're going to have to do more of the work ourselves. And I think we have to think of ways of doing that, that we can draw in people who perhaps don't have, they have a lot of energy and enthusiasm, but maybe not so much skill. Maybe they're people who don't want to do it full time, but are willing to give a few hours every week or every month to doing the work. And I think we have to make the work easy for them to do, and that's what our infrastructure is like, so that it enables people without skills to come and do the work and enjoy it as well. It's not so difficult, it's not so heavy that they can't do it. So
how many people you have at the moment?
Well, you know better than me, being a volunteer yourself. I think we've got about 15, but we can have 20 in a morning, because people can just come and work. We work 6:15 till 9, Monday to Friday, and anybody can just turn up at 6:15 if they want to work. And I think that's important as well, because not everybody can make the commitment to come every day. So particularly if they're living outside Buddha Gardens. So we have to be willing to accept anybody and to really see what it is they have to give to Buddha Garden right that morning, you know. That's how we work.
Yeah, and on the property I see this building with a sign saying Center for Sustainable Farming. Yes. Can you explain something about this?
Okay. Well, right from the very beginning, we've always seen ourselves as a place where people can come and be inspired, where they can come and learn, and so that we've always seen ourselves like that. But another aspect of Buddha Garden, and I think of all farms, is that it's very, very difficult to run a farm and be financially viable and just on doing farming. You just don't get enough for your produce to do that. And so right from the very beginning, I could see that I was not going to be financially viable unless we did something else. Now, a lot of the farms do food processing. They take something, they turn it into jam, or they get milk and they turn it into cheese. And you can sell it for a much increased price. And that is what helps to subsidize the actual food growing. Well, I was never very interested in that. And but I am interested in people, and I am interested in education. And gradually, what's happened is that we've seen Buddha Garden does two things. We're an actual working farm. We produce food for Oroville, increasing amounts of food for Oroville. But at the same time, we're a place for inspiration, for education, and also for research. And the reason The other reason why that's happened is that Vivek joined me about 6 years ago, and he has just got his PhD in agricultural studies, and part of his research has been to look at Buddha Garden as a complete farm to see how it actually works. Because when he was in university, he would do a lot of research plots, which I think are 10 meter by 10 meter or something like that. And he said, you know, to sort of understand what's going on in the farm is something quite different. You actually have to sort of have a farm. So we are a working farm that people can actually come and participate in and can do research and learn. And so we opened the Center for Sustainable Farming to be a focus for that. And We have various sort of activities. I mean, one thing we do every Monday throughout the year, we have an introduction to sustainable farming. And in that's just anybody can turn up at 10 o'clock and we have a description about good a garden and what do we do and all that sort of stuff, and then we take them around the farm and then we have a question and answer session. So that was when we do that throughout the year. The other thing was that we used to do courses, and we haven't done them this year because we just didn't get enough people to come to really make it worthwhile. It was very interesting actually, because the people we did get were absolutely fantastic people, but we only ever got two or three of them, and of course it's a lot of work and you know, for just two or three people. So what we do now is that if people want courses, then we sort of talk to them and see what they want, and then we'll actually do a course for them. I mean, if there's just one or two people. So we don't lay on sort of, the courses are kind of bespoke courses. They're just for individuals depending on what they need. So we do that now. And then the other thing is that we host research students, and we've had various bits of research sort of done here. Usually it's part of a university program. And so far they've come mainly from universities abroad, from France. We've had quite a few people. Had somebody from Holland. But what's happening now is that Vivek is going out and he's actually working with Indian universities. And what we're hoping is that eventually we will become a focus, you know, when university students who, you know, they don't get much chance to work on farms. And so what we're hoping is that Vivek has just recently been to a university in Rajasthan, and he's organized a whole program for students there to actually go out with local farmers and learn about farming. But they could just as well also come to Buddha Garden, and we think eventually, you know, there will be a sort of relationship that we'll build up with universities so that they can come here and learn, and they can, but they should also go to their local farmers and learn from them too, and really sort of understand at the planning level and at the farm organization level, because this is something that it's very hard for students to get. And I mean, even from students who come from abroad, I mean, usually quite often we've been their first experience of actually being on a farm and growing stuff. Some of them, I mean, some of them have done sort of research, you know, they've done stuff in research plots, but quite a lot of them haven't. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of really interesting for them to come on a working farm. And this is, so these are the two aspects that we see of Buddha Garden and how we intend to develop in the future. Because we really want any student who comes here, and we're not so sure exactly how it's going to work, but we want students to come here to really understand what it means to grow food for the community, because that's what we're doing. Yeah. And that's our challenge. And to sort of do that, you know, in the situation with the climate and the soil and everything that we've got here. And so that's what we intend to do and how we develop, you know, for the future. Though I can't tell you exactly what we hope to do, I mean, in terms of actually having a very specific plan, but we are building up relationships with universities both in India and abroad, and we hope that students will come and do research, and also that we will go there, you know, that it'll be a two-way thing.
Yeah. Do you think, is there going to be a benefit for Auroville itself in this?
One benefit for Auroville will be that we increase our production, so they will actually get some more food. But yes, that's also obviously a very important thing, is how we work with other farmers in Auroville. I mean, we've tried to set up a database, and that hasn't been incredibly successful, and so, you know, we have to rethink it. And because I think that would be one of the most useful things that we could do here, would be to have a database, but to have a database that farmers really feel it kind of belongs to them, and they see it and can understand how it's a good management tool for them. Unfortunately, the way it was set up, It was
Database filled with what actually?
Well, with information about what farmers actually do, and so that farmers can sort of put information into it, and then they can see what the results of what they do, because often farmers do something and you know, it works. And I know this happened to me when I first started in Buddha Garden, that you would do something, it would work, and I wouldn't quite be sure why it worked, you know. So, but when you sort of, I mean, it's sort of an awareness exercise of being aware of what you do, of what you put in to the farm, and then also seeing actually what comes out. And I mean, some things work and some things don't. Some things work sometimes, that they don't work other times, and to really kind of get a better understanding of what we're doing. But that is, it's a lot of extra work for the farmer, and not all farmers feel that it's actually worthwhile to do that. And so again, you have to think of ways that the farmer can sort of integrate in with the database. And we haven't, you know, we haven't done that, and it was started, and it needs a lot more thought, and it needs. I mean, we are continuing sort of collecting data from Buddha Garden and from certain other farms, but we would like to see this for the whole of the farmers in Oroville. But the farmers themselves, I think, have to see that it's a benefit to them, because obviously it's a lot of work, and we haven't actually been successful in doing that. And so, anyway, that's a challenge for the future. And that's something, actually, that we hope that as part of the five-year plan is that we have a much larger database that's larger than just for the farmers, that it's a database that's all about food production, and that the farm aspect of that can be part of that much larger database. And we're going to get somebody to help us, we hope, who is very experienced in database management and set up and so on. And we really want to work with him, you know, for the farmers, because we do still see that actually it's worth doing, and it's something that we'd be very happy to sort of do.
Yeah. And are farmers working really individualistic in outer field? Like, I have the idea when I visit different farms, there are quite big differences between ways of working, in ways of how the farm is set up.
Oh yes, definitely. I mean, there's a tremendous diversity, and within the farm group, we take collective responsibility for the land that is being farmed by the farmers in the farm group, and for that reason, we request. I mean, everybody who's a farm group member sort of signs up for this, if you like, and also gives in accounts, because that's the best way of actually, at the moment that we have, for seeing what's actually going on the land. So. Within that, I mean, farmers are given a lot of individuality to run the farm as they see is the best thing. I mean, we are the best way for them. And it is a very individual thing, because if somebody else had come to Buddha Garden, you know, we would have got a completely different farm.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is actually why I enjoy farming, I think, because it's such a reflection of where you are on so many levels, you know, and it's certainly part of my sort of spiritual kind of path, as I see. But I mean, because the land does speak to you, you know, you do something and then the land speaks back to you.
Yeah.
And then so you do something else. And of course, the way the land speaks and the way it's interpreted and everything is just very individual. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it and I think that's how it has to be. And I don't think, and I mean, unless we go to this very sort of mechanical sort of farming, you know, where you're just sort of like, you know, spraying and putting in so many sacks of fertilizer and stuff like that. But I think because it's so individual, it's all, I mean, even within that, you can see that some things work and some things don't. But yeah, I mean, in the end, it's the individual who has to decide what they're going to do.
Mm.
And I think we all have a commitment in the farm group as well to trying to make our farms financially viable, however we do that. And that also is a question for the community about, you know, how they want I mean, do they want each individual farmer to be responsible, or do they want to take collective responsibility, which means actually putting quite a bit of money in, you know? Because if, as I said, I mean, we, you know, I originally went into the education side to get money to support the actual farming side. And there's a lot of farms are doing sort of these other activities. And, you know, if the community would take responsibility, we wouldn't have to do those other activities and we could just focus on farming.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's quite a debate actually within, I think, the farm group, and certainly it'll be within the community about how we support our farms financially.
Yeah.
And, yes, and there's many answers to that. And I think it also depends on what different farmers really want, you know. I mean, because obviously if you're going to be supported and subsidized by the community, then, you know, you just focus on farming and just banging out as much food as you can. But, I mean, you know, some farmers, I mean, certainly in Buddha Garden, part of what we do is to try and see how we can live a balanced life, you know. So we actually want to do other things and to see how farming can be part of a life, you know, that where we do other things as well, as,
yeah.
You know, I mean, in terms of art and research and writing and all that sort of stuff.
And do you have any remarks on the Audevillian food consumption in relation to education?
Well, I think, I mean, I'm afraid the Auroville food consumption is very unsustainable. I mean, they, you know, when you look at what we actually eat, I mean, most of it comes from outside the bioregion. But it's also true that what grows in the bioregion, you know, I mean, it's quite limited in many ways, you know. You know, I mean, there's no cabbage, or there's only Chinese cabbage. I mean, you know, potatoes, onions. I mean, I think actually onions you can get, but you can't. I think it's hard to get the big onions, you know. So it's not really very sustainable. And this is also one of our challenges, I think, that we have to see how we can make it more sustainable. And there are ways of doing it. I mean, we could get relationships with farms, say in Kodi Canal or somewhere like that, you know, where they're growing different sort of food that we could. That we could get, but they're growing it organically and, you know, sort of with the Auroville sort of feel, you know. But they're growing actually different stuff which people like here.
Yeah.
But that is a big challenge actually,
yeah.
to try and get people to eat more sustainably. And I know in the ASAP steering group, you know, one member talks about, well, what you have to think of is three different plates, you know. There's the plate of sort of food that's just been grown in the bioregion, and then there's the food that's where there's grown in the bioregion, but there's a few extra things, you know. And then there's the plate where there's the food with a little bit grown in the bioregion, but actually most of it is coming from outside, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, there are those sort of possibilities. And again, I think it's a big challenge because, I mean, I don't know, in the future, I think in the future we are going to have to eat more local food. And the other thing is, I feel quite strongly, is we'll have to eat less animal products. Because when, I mean, that's one of the things I've realized in Buddha Garden. Gosh, I mean, having animals, it's such an inefficient way of producing food.
Consuming.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you know, to produce eggs, you know, you've really got to feed those chickens. And, I mean, growing the food, when you see how much food you've got to grow to feed the chickens to produce eggs, and then you see how much you can grow on that piece of land that you're growing food for chickens that you can consume directly, I mean, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot compared to, you know, putting it into a chicken that will then produce eggs. So, but I don't know. I don't see any changes there. Well, I mean, people are still wanting eggs and stuff. Yeah.
Is the objective of CSF to do something with our affiliates and their awareness of their consumption?
I doubt it. I don't really know. I mean, that will be part of the 5-year plan. Mm. I think really we're more interested in actually what goes on the farms and how we grow food and the best ways of doing that. And, you know, as I said, I mean, part of our sort of experiment is to have this infrastructure, you know, that makes it easy for people to work and grow food. And also the other thing that we're very interested in is to use less water. And, you know, we look at that. That's that we feel is very important as well. And that also for the future is something we will do.
Okay. Thank you very much. Do you have anything to add to this discussion?
I think what I would like is for agriculture to in Oroville to become more of a focus for what everybody does. I would like it if more Orovillians would see as part of the work that they do in Oroville is to some way support the farms. And, I mean, that could be in terms of actually coming and working and or growing their own some of their own food or even just, you know, buying Oroville-grown food rather than growing food that's, you know, grown outside Oroville. I think we need to sort of see this as a central part of what we do in the building of the city and of the working of the city. And I think that is going to be the only way we're going to be able to feed ourselves in the future.